Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, comedian and mum to two very lively boys. Each episode, I chat with amazing women from the world of comedy, bringing you a non-judgy dose of mum and tonic, how to stay afloat, laugh through the chaos, and be bloody great women. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and I'm so excited to bring you today's episode. I've got two guests, I'm going to say friends, because I've met them both. So first up joining me today, well, she's almost a regular. She was on the podcast before. She was on one of the video versions of the podcast, which is still on YouTube. She's had a few more kids since then and has become a bit of a TikTok success. You might have also remember her on ITV2 sketch show, and she supported the likes of Russell Kane, Joanne McNally, and Alan Carr. She is now a mother of three, Essex comedian Kelly Convey, of course, and also joined by Sakina Ballard, who I met at a gig actually, and we kept in contact after that because she gives great advice, particularly for new mums, and she's what you call a perinatal coach. And we talked about some really interesting things. We went around lots of different topics. We talked about breastfeeding, what it's like when you have to give that up. We talked obviously about having three under three, the stupid and funny things that people say. Enjoy it, dive in. And also really good stuff that Sakina said about creativity and being a mum. It is possible, because when a baby is born, a mum is born. Let's get stuck in.
How's your day going? Because mine's just great. Basically, we just had a delivery at the door, and so I went and got it. And also, the delivery man said, I hope you don't mind, but your next neighbour's not in. Would you mind taking next doors? And I said, no problem, that's absolutely fine. A matter of minutes later, my next door neighbour comes and knocks on the door. They're usually very chatty, very nice, but today it was almost virgin on rude, and I thought, what have I done? I just grabbed the package and went. Then I walked back in the house, and I realised that my tit was hanging out. My tit was out. And I phoned my husband at work. I thought, oh my God, babe, I'm mortified. He said, you answered the door with your tit out, didn't you? I was like, how did you know that? He said, well, I've just got the delivery note from DPD, and in the top corner of the photo, your tit is hanging out. I hope you're well fed.
Welcome, Kelly Convey and Sakina Ballard.
Hello.
Well, I don't know whether we've had been able to show the visual for that when it goes out on YouTube. If you're listening online, then get to YouTube. You can watch as well. We should have the visual. But if not, we should say you've got the baby in your arms when you're doing that clip, Kelly.
Yeah, it's really weird listening back to that because it's sort of like all up. Sort of reliving it, because like that clip has gone like super viral. I think it's like 11 million or something on my channel. You don't re-watch your old stuff, so I haven't re-listened or watched that, and she's just turned two, so I was breastfeeding, so that's a good year and a half ago. It's not the first time I've done that.
What, a tit out?
Yeah, that's not the first time that I've answered the door with my boob out. I think when you're breastfeeding, the boob becomes so used to fresh air that it's so numb and out there all the time. I've definitely done it a couple of times, but that was really extreme because of the delivery note. And
It was just perfect. And I think later on, you shared the picture that your husband sent you of the boob in the corner of the picture. And it was just everything about that was perfect in my mind.
What makes me think it is actually the poor bloke, I don't think he even realised. You know, when they put the parcel down, they're putting it down, they're looking at the
parcel,
they take the photo and they're off. As far as I know, I don't think he even realised what he'd done. And I did that video just because I was just like, you know, when something happens and you're like, I can't actually believe this has happened.
Yes, yes.
Put it online. I didn't expect. It's weird with TikTok and that. The videos that you don't expect to do well. If I do like a bit of something that's a bit more like stand up where I'm like, oh, that's a funny gag, I can do
it. Yeah.
It'll get like, you know, 10,000 views. And then I answer the door with my tit out and it gets 11 million, you know. So maybe I just need to do some sort of stripping.
Just keep being you, love. I mean, let's get straight into that then. Because I feel like with you, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you sort of had the second one, because you used to come and do my club, Scream of Laughter, Lunchtime Comedy Club, where babies can come to. I remember there was a point where you were like, oh, I really can't gig so much now. Mm-hmm. And do you think that doing the TikToks and stuff was, because we're used to that outlet of like, this crazy thing has happened. Please tell me it's funny at least or whatever, that's how you started doing the videos.
Yeah, I started doing the TikToks. Yeah, essentially that. I gigged all the way through. So, Sakina, I'd got 3 under 3.
I am going to get to that in a minute.
What happened is that I had the first one. I gigged all the way through my pregnancy, right up until my due date with the first. Then I gave birth, and then I started performing again when she was 3 months old. By the time that she was 5 months old, I was pregnant again. So then I gigged all the way through that pregnancy. And then I went back when my second child was 3 months old and I gigged all the way through. And I got halfway through that pregnancy. And when I was pregnant with my third, I got all the mornings with the girls. I breezed through those pregnancies. With the third, I had morning sickness. I was tired. I had two toddlers, 2 under 2, to care for, and getting in the car and driving and doing the gigging. And I just said to my agent, I said, you know what? I actually haven't actually taken a maternity leave with 2 children. And the reality, the performing, I love, the logistics, driving to Coventry on a Wednesday, that kind of back end of actually doing stand-up, it became quite just unrealistic, essentially. So, yeah, taking a gap. And in lieu of that, the only real outlet I've got is TikTok and Instagram and that. But, I mean, even that I haven't got time for. I can barely make a cup of tea in this house. So if I can squeeze a video in here and there, then I will, because I feel like if I'm not doing that, then I'm not keeping up with, I don't know, being self-employed is something that is constantly hanging over you.
And to bring Sakina in, hello, Sakina. You said online about being a mother and at a time to be creative a little while ago. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think I did a little video on that, didn't I? Yeah, and it was really about how creative I think mothers can feel. And I think the way you get your outlet to be creative changes. Because you've got, as you were saying, Kelly, it's like the logistics, like you can't just go off and do the things that you were doing before. But I think mums, and especially new mums, when I've worked with them, have this real like creative zeal. They're like seeing the world in different ways. The whole perspective is changing. Like even that clip of you answering the door with your boob out, you're like, what reality am I in right now? It's like, I can almost imagine you sharing that video just to go, did I actually just live this little moment in my life? And like, it's there now for posterity. But I think there is a real sort of shift in the way we experience the world, the way we experience our own creativity. I mean, like having a child is an ultimate act of creativity. There's this like blank canvas that you're going to raise. And even the act of going through pregnancy, like all the changes, the processes, is such a creative time. And I think it is a really new space that mums go into that space, especially your first time when you don't know what on earth is going on. You're just in a void. Everything I knew is gone. Everything is sort of potential again. And I'm in the midst of chaos, just trying to get through. But I often find that when I'm working with mums, they get ideas, they've got like new inspiration, they're feeling like that kind of creative energy, but they just need different outlets to express it, because the way in which you might have worked before, or the things you had accessible to you before, the time, the money, the energy, they're sort of totally recalibrated. They're different. You just don't have them in the same way. But I don't think the creativity goes. I think they get a sort of, I've noticed. Yeah, a new surge of creativity.
The thing is, before, it's that classic thing of like, oh my God, I used to think I didn't have any time. Like, say, when you've got one child, I've only got two. When you have the second one, you go, oh my God, I had so much more time. What I found quite hard going to from one to two, because with one, it's like, well, you can look after one and I can go back for a nap. But once you've got two, it's like, we've got to have one each. But what it does do is confines what you can do. And sometimes when you've got more choice, it's more like, ah, but because you're like, this is all I can do. TikTok, that's all I can do. Or I've got an hour on a Monday when they're at nursery or whatever. The creativity is then channeled.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've just got less time to faff around. Like, you've just got that hour or whatever you've got, and you've just got to make it happen. Like, I'm a bit biased. I work with mums a lot. But I think if you want to get something done, ask a busy mum, because you give them half an hour and they're like, I don't know, they could rewrite a constitution. You know, it's just like, got to get this done, because then I've got to go and pick up the kids and make the dinner or whatever else they're squeezing in. I just think they're amazing. Yeah,
I think that's why women are, you know, they say, oh, women are good at multitasking and men aren't. I mean, my husband, put it out there, he is absolutely incredible. He does so much. But still, I get so frustrated, even though he does so much. I will do, like, the dishwasher holding the baby. I will, like, you know, putting boiling water pan on the thing, you know, like, all of that stuff. I'm doing it holding the baby, because that's what I do. He'll come in and be like, well, no, I can't do that. I'm holding the baby. I'm like, sorry? Pick it up with your feet. I'm really so skilled at picking things up with my toes. I can pick anything up. Brush, rolling pin, you name it, I'll pick it up. I've got two children in my arms. I feel like we are programmed to get things done in such a confined amount of space and time, because you've just got constant children all over you. He'll like come home from work, he's like, well, I'll take the baby, just let me have a wee first. I'm like, I've needed a wee since midday, mate. Have a wee during.
You have to go for a wee with a baby in the carrier, you know, like, because you couldn't, you're like in a public toilet, I can't put my baby anywhere, so I'm like holding my baby up in the carrier trying to go to the toilet in a public toilet.
Sure, all three of my children have been breastfed whilst I've taken a shit. I'm not even joking.
I'm here for it. I've been there. Sakina, I mean, this might not be your area, but I mean, because I see it with my female friends that are not mums, right? They can just do lots of stuff. And I know with my husband now, ex-husband, probably that's why he's ex-husband, because one time I did tell him off for cleaning his teeth. I said, I wish I had time to clean my teeth. I think he used to think I was absolutely mad that I was doing these things. He's like, just put the baby down, then do it. It's like, no. Do you think that literally there is something in the wiring of women that we can do these things?
I mean, I think women are amazing. I think they can do so much more than we actually, like, society doesn't give credit for how incredible women are. And we talk about, like, you know, the emotional load, the invisible load, which they just carry quietly. Like, they just do it all and then no one realises they're doing it. You're just carrying the kids and you're making the dinner and you're trying to go to the toilet and you're answering the door and you're getting your work done and you're turning up to Teams meetings and like everyone's just on an iPad behind you and you're like, you're constantly like this. Women do go through the matrescence, you know, when you go through pregnancy and you go through childbirth and in those early years. So your brain...
What's the matrescence? What's that?
Essentially the sort of shift into mothering. And it's biological, your hormones change, it's psychological. You go through one of the biggest rewires of the brain between sort of adolescence. And I think it might even be bigger than adolescence. So basically, you know, when people talk about when they're pregnant, they're getting like baby brain. So the brain actually reduces its functioning so that it can do this massive reprogramming. And we know like mothers' brains are amazing. They can attune to the temperature of their baby from the other side of the room. They're sort of tuned into like everything that's happening, so you can't put the baby down in a way because you're so connected, you know what I mean? Like, you put the baby down as like cutting off your arm when you're going to have a shower. It's like, that's how it feels when you've got a new child. You're so connected. So I think there is something in the wiring, but I also think there's a lot in like social expectations of what we ask and expect women to do, and to do it quietly and silently and not complain about it, you know, like how dare you want to brush your teeth, or, you know, and I think men just haven't had that exposure. And I don't think women just get that when they're mothers. I think we have it from when we're little. We're like taught how to be good girls who take care of people's needs quietly for a very long time. So by the time we get to motherhood, we just totally refined it. We're like, right, I've got that down. Now I'm going to take on this next chapter. Just watch me go as I do all this with the kids in my arms. And then we're knackered at the end of the day. You just sort of finish the day. You're like, oh, what did I just go through?
Well, yeah, I do feel a big responsibility. And I know, Sakina, you've got two boys, but your two boys are older. Are they, one of them a teenager?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go, he's probably a really nice teenager. But I feel it's responsibility. And now, Kelly, you've joined the world of little winkies. Because I think people do it so subconsciously to not include the boys in things. And I'm really being conscious to do that, even more so now I'm on my own with them. Even if I'm cooking or something or cleaning or... Just the other day, I was like, he was going upstairs. I said to my 9-year-old, can you take this washing up? And I thought, why have I not done that before? Because most men think that a fairy takes stuff upstairs, don't they?
Yeah. There is a definite difference. So you've only got boys, yeah?
Yeah, we've both just got two boys.
There's definite difference, I think. I mean, he's...
Really? Already? You've noticed?
Immediately, there's a difference. It's not a good or a bad thing. There's just a difference. I didn't know that I was having a boy until he was born. We would have been really happy with three girls. When he was a boy, we were just so happy. Because I'd sort of resigned myself to the fact that I'd never know what my son was like. But that's one side of it. But him as a person, the way he looks at me, the way that he is, already you can see that there's a difference with the girls. It's very hard to explain. There is a from birth difference between a girl and a boy. And I don't want to go down a massive political... I'm not putting my stall out about genders, but I'm just saying that physically seeing it and their behaviour and the way that they are, particularly towards me as a mother, there's a difference for sure.
More loving in some way.
Yeah, like he looks at me like I am God. Like he is just completely in love with me. And the girls are... But, like, it's just, he just sort of, like, you'll turn around and he's just in the corner, like, hey. Hi, I love you. The girls really love him, but he's infatuated with me, which is just the loveliest feeling in the world.
And what you deserve after having the third one as well. Can I ask, I hate that because I know people probably say it to you on the bus. Oh, was it plans? Was it an accident?
No, B was. My first child was planned. The second one, we had sex. So we had sex on my ovulation day. No, there was no planning. There was no being careful either, really. I mean, we were always going to have three. I've always said I wanted to have six, but until I had children. I'm one of six, so I always wanted loads. But definitely I'm done. But no, the other two were accidents. And I have to say that, you know, when you go through life and everyone goes, oh, you were an accident, you were an accident.
Yeah.
I think to myself, well, actually, aren't accidents like really genuine lovemaking? Whereas the first one's like, I'm ovulating, jump on, you know, like the other two were actually like genuinely like made love and we made a baby. Whereas B was like, we are going to have a baby and we're going to have sex this week, you know. So they were,
that's
they were
so very true.
Yeah, very happy accidents. But yeah, I mean, 5 months and 6 months after giving birth. Both of them. So at this age, I was pregnant again.
Yeah, you've been sharing that you're very happy. And I get that, even though I've only had two, I felt similar, was like, oh, I'm not going to be pregnant this year.
Yeah. There's a real joy in just feeling done, happily finished. I actually feel like our family has just started because I've been in a blur of being pregnant and looking after babies. And when he came, it was like, oh, we're done. And now we can all move forward together instead of me just like my body being just not mine. And since having him and getting myself back to play with the children on the floor and to not be pregnant again and not to have all of that other stuff going on, to actually just see them for the first time, is lovely. It's just so nice to just be like, okay, here we go. Obviously, I dote on these children and all I do is for them. And it wasn't like I was vacant, but I just feel so physically able, mentally able, like I'm there. It's such a great feeling to just be back. 2025, it's my bounce back. By the summer, I'm going to start posting bikini photos on my Instagram.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to have a glow up. I might start bodybuilding or something. You know, I'm just going to be... It's not children anymore. They can raise themselves. It's me. It's all me.
I'm sure, I don't know, Sakina, what you say about the whole snapback thing. I mean...
Oh, the old bounce back body.
The pressure. I mean, you look great, Kelly. I feel like some people are just, like, born to have babies. In that way that your body obviously has gone.
I mean, if you see the size of my son, all the weight has gone through my nipple and into that boy. I mean, he is 99 percentile. I've had to put him on formula because I was honestly going to die, plain and simple. I was going to die if I continued to feed him. Yeah, I've had that in the last week. I'm actually really emotional about like finishing with the breastfeeding. But
that's not sustainable.
So it's a mixture of breastfeeding and carrying, he's 11 kilos. So carrying an 11 kilo baby around pretty much all day, / a bit of mental breakdown in there.
Yeah.
It's very slimming, a mental breakdown.
Very slimming, a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, just a complete mental breakdown. If you're looking to lose a bit of weight, just be on borderline being committed to an institution.
Yeah, I breastfed both mine. I was like, God, this breastfeeding's all right. I seem to be able to eat what I want. I felt like the weight was just coming off. And I thought, this is all right. And then one day I was sort of like, I had a bit of tremors. And my sister went, I think maybe you should go to the doctors. It turned out I had an overactive thyroid, which you can get from pregnancy. Sakina, have you heard of that before?
Yeah, everything can change. And some people get sort of overactive, and sometimes people go through the other side, don't they? And they get underactive as well. Yeah,
because all the symptoms are like feeling a bit dizzy and all that. It's like, well, who doesn't feel dizzy when you've got a new baby? I didn't detect it for ages. But overactive thyroid, as my sisters said, and I come from four girls, they'd be like, oh, you got the good one. Because you lose weight with the but obviously it's dangerous, and they had to put me on these drugs, and then I had to stop breastfeeding because it would go through to him, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to like manage this. Well, I'm putting on weight. You're like, no, I'm used to eating three cakes a day. I was eating so much. It was great. Not that I can go and get an overactive thyroid. Obviously, it's very dangerous.
I have a question for Zakir, actually. You might know, you might not. How long does it last, the emotional withdrawal from breastfeeding? Because I've been like really sad, and I know it's the right thing to do, but at the same time, like, my body and my emotions are telling me to keep feeding him, but like, I feel like I'm getting like emotional now, like it's really pulling at me. But it wasn't an easy decision, but I think it's best for everyone because my energy levels are back, he's sleeping more, and I can look after them better. But there's like huge guilt in the stopping of it.
Yeah, it's so hard. I think stopping feeding, if you've been breastfeeding at any stage, is really, really difficult because there is the end of that. And especially because you said you're also done, I was thinking that's actually the end of an era for you as well, isn't it, really? Like, actually, it's such a big part when you've got little ones as the feeding, and it just becomes part of your routine. There's that sort of end of that era. But also there is the hormonal shift, because when we stop feeding, our hormones totally change. So the kind of oxytocin levels and things we were getting from feeding, they plummet. So actually that's something that I think a lot of people feel is really emotional. And I know I did as well, especially at the end of my feeding journeys, because literally your whole body's then just recalibrating all the hormones too. So it can last for a while, but obviously, like, official advice, if you're worried about it, then people should always speak to their like health visitor or their doctor or, you know, somebody about it. But I think it can last for quite a few months as your body recalibrates. But the other side of it is to also think about, as you say, like the realities of what happens when you are, like if you're so depleted and you need to stop. And I think that's always a really difficult journey in feeding, isn't it? And like with our babies generally, because they are whole human beings and we're whole human beings. And saying about how attached that we are when they're little and like everything about us is so attached. But actually there comes a point where it's that negotiation of their needs with our needs, like any relationship, and especially when we've got other children as well and we're thinking about how do we navigate that. It can take a few months. I think it's so hard, and I think a lot of women feel that, and I think it is hormonal. I think it's also psychological, emotional. It's the end of something that's been a really big part of our lives. But like boosting oxytocin where you can help. So like taking yourself not into dark and moon, but, you know, warm baths, like really soothing yourself through it, I think can be a nice thing to offer ourselves. And not just to like soothe hormones, but to soothe that part of the journey for us too. Mm. And to give us that rest as our body like resettles itself. When I finished feeding the first time, I found it really difficult. I was really obsessed because I struggled to breastfeed the first time. I became really kind of like obsessed about whether or not my body was making the milk. And so finishing feeding was a massive journey. And I didn't realize at that time about the sort of shift that you get when you stop feeding, because you just lose all the kind of prolactins and the oxytocins and what that does to me. So yeah, lots of TLC. But I think it can take a while. It can take a few months for your body to sort of recalibrate that. You know, I'd say if you're still feeling that after sort of 3 to 6 months, then it's probably worth saying to somebody like, I think I'm struggling with this, but lots of TLC in that time. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying.
Oh, massive. Such a massive thing. And I think it's all the silent stuff that people don't see, you know, like when you're going back to work and you're having to maybe change your feeding patterns, or like lots of people stop feeding when they go back to work. And then you've got all of these sort of emotions happening and the ends of something that's so massive. And then you're just trying to go there and get through your day. And I think it's all that stuff of being a mother is that sort of quiet part of it that people don't always see what our inner world is and how big this stuff is as well at the time for us, and also like what we do for our families.
Yeah.
I was trying to think then, was I sad? But I think I was more with the first one than the second one. I think my second baby was even bigger. So it was the same thing. It's like, this baby is so big, especially if I'm out in public. I'd have to like lay him on a table sometimes just to feed him. I had really big boobs. I still have, but they're down by my ankles now. So you got this big booty, like, poor thing. Best for everyone. But so I didn't feel so emotional, maybe because I just hit the Prosecco straight away. Because it's like, oh, well, I can have a drink now. That helps. But I was thinking then just quickly about the feeding thing never ends, in terms of, like, my friend said that her mum, even now when she's eating something, she's having a sandwich, she's like, eat more, eat more. She goes, I know my mum feels so happy just to see me eat. She wants to see me eat. And I was like, oh my God, I get that. Because the feeding thing never blooming ends. There's a challenge. You know, obviously I'm trying to get my boys to not just eat beige food and like feeling so happy when a carrot goes into their mouth. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is why my mum overfed us girls, I think.
It's your way of caring, isn't it? It's like an innate thing from the minute they come out, is that you've got to feed the baby. You feel like you're doing a good job if they're fed.
Yeah, there's just something relaxing when they eat. I'm like, I'm so pleased you're eating.
Hello, you're listening to the Funny Mummy Podcast. Can I have a snack now?
I don't know if you've had anything lately, and maybe because your oldest, Kelly, is 3. So yeah, she's talking. Well, they're both talking, aren't they?
So yeah, she's 3. I mean, my 3-year-old, I know that everyone says it, but she is...
She is.
She's ridiculous. She's so clever. She comes out with things. She's incredible. And then the 2-year-old, she's just started to speak. And it's really nice that the 2-year-old's screaming right now. The 3-year-old and the 2-year-old, when I'm trying to like read a book, and I'm like, what's that? And my 3-year-old would go, cow. And I go, no, big, let Tallulah answer.
Oh.
I explained to her. And I said, the more that Tallulah learns, the more you can speak with her. And the 3-year-old, oh, we can speak. And now they've started talking. And now,
nice.
Like, they're colluding with each other. So that's really lovely to see them have this relationship. And also the 2-year-old, now she can speak, isn't as frustrated. She was so frustrated trying it. And there's so many times I've been standing there going, baby, I just don't know what you mean. What do you mean? And now she's sort of like saying, not being rude, but like she sounds like, you know, like a deaf person. So she's sounding out the words.
Yeah.
So she's sort of like, Christmas. And you're like, yes, Christmas, Christmas. And I suppose that's what a deaf person is doing, is sounding out the words. And the other day I showed her a picture and she went, gymnastics. I was like, yes, gymnastics. My God, a three-syllable word. You are amazing. You know, it's just the most exciting thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that communication. Now, I'm sure you don't get time, Kelly, to watch any TV.
We do, actually. I mean, we get about an hour slot after they go to bed and we're trying to stay awake. If you're looking for this, I mean, it's not the most comfortable of watches, to the point where me and my husband didn't look at our phones once. We were glued to this program.
Oh.
Disclaimer. Think it's on Apple. Disclaimer. Oh. It's haunting. It's gripping. It really, it's a bit disturbing, but it's bloody good. Disclaimer. It's the best thing I've seen in a long time.
Apple, if you want to send me a free subscription, please do.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, just before I find out if Sakina's got a recommendation, we're just going to take a quick voice note from my sister, because I set up this item specifically for this because I think we haven't got time to waste. We can't go flicking through and accidentally watching something that wasn't good. We need somebody else to sort through the shit for us. So this is our new item called Mum Watch. And this is my sister who would regularly leave me a voice note with stuff she's watching. So this is Tracy on Mum Watch.
Hello, Hattie. There may be some background noise as I'm in the woods with hubby and he's got the chainsaw out. But right now on this very cold Saturday, the sun is shining and it's beautiful. Sorry, didn't need that. Well, I want to talk about a programme called Somewhere. It was, bear with me, because it was a couple of years ago that I watched it, but I was thinking about it. I thought, I need to share that one. It's a good one. It's like a dark, like a sad comedy. I don't know if that's a genre. Her sister dies and she moves back home, Sam does. And she's got no friends and she's pretty lonely. And then she meets Joel, who is just, he's got the best comb over. And he's just a real sweetheart. He is a bit of a favourite, Joel. And they end up doing, bearing in mind this was a couple of years I saw this, I remember they were doing a bit of exercising in, and he was in a leotard. Oh, it's just the best. And then they end up forming, like she gets, Sam gets like this group of friends together. And there's somebody Rococo. Oh, what was the name? Jim Rococo. Oh, it's just so funny. It's an American comedian. And, he is so funny. But this programme, it makes you laugh. It's insanely touching. It's just the best. Apparently you can watch it on Now TV for free, or you have to pay extra to watch it on Amazon. But I watched the first two series when it was on Sky, and there's a season 3, and I haven't got Now TV. So, you know, if only I knew someone who had Now TV. Anyway, the next one I'm going to talk about is a film, which apparently it's on Netflix. I watched it when it first came out. It's called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And it's Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet. I was like, oh, what's not to like? romance. But it also says sci-fi, which should have told me. Watched it the first time. I did not like it. I was so disappointed. I think I did watch it through to the end because it also has John Malkovich. And back in the day, I was a bit of a fan of John Malkovich. You know, he was a bit serial killer with his eyes, which, you know, at one point I liked that. Anyway, I watched it, I thought, oh, what a load of... I didn't know what was going on. But some years later, I decided, I think it just came up, I watched it again. And I'm talking like 5-6 years later. And I just really watched it. None of that, you know, doing a bit of ironing or flicking through a phone or whatever. I really watched it and I loved it. I absolutely adored it. Jim Carrey being serious is the best. Kate Winslet, it was just... And, oh, sorry, I haven't told you anything about the plot. So he's heartbroken. Girlfriend finishes with him. And there's this agency that you can go to and they wipe the memory of the person that you've been with. And it's the whole, I mean, there's that whole thing of like, if you could do that, would you do it? When you're heartbroken, would you do it? Or is it better to have that experience and remember it? So there's all of that. And then, you know, it is still a bit silly when he goes to the actual agency, things all go a bit dream state. But honestly, the bit that runs through it, what I took away from it was about romance and love, and maybe it is better to just remember. Okay, have a good day, everybody.
So, let me get this straight. Your sister's right. Trying to save everyone time.
Yeah.
By recommending movies because we don't have time to watch them, by sending a 25-minute voice note. About programs and films that came out years ago.
I know, I didn't have heart to say to her, Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind is a classic. But I did say to her, you know, you can watch Lorraine for the most stuff that's topical. I quite like digging deep. You know, there's so much in the archives of Netflix and whatever, because we've got so much choice now. This is the thing, we've got so much choice. We just miss things that are like, oh, my God, have you watched this series? That was so funny. But no, I've never seen it before. I was just worried that she was makes it out of the woods alive. I was thinking then, I was like, would we like our memory got rid of the early baby days or any parts that you don't like it? But I guess it's all part of it, isn't it, to build
you
it up?
You get it anyway, don't you? Like, I can't even, you know, they say you like you forget about birth and you like you forget parts, don't you? Like some bits you don't forget. But like, yeah. I can't really remember. I mean, one day you'll look back and you're probably like, did I actually do that? Do you feel that, Hattie? Do you look back now from where you are and go, did I actually do that?
Well, you know the whole thing of like, you have your first one and then like your auntie, you go, that was so horrible, like the pain and everything. And your auntie goes, you soon forget. It's nature. It makes you forget. And I'm like, no, I remember. I remember.
No, I think your brain switches off all of the bad stuff and like, I feel like the people that don't understand how hard it is or just the nuances of having a new baby are parents with older children. They're going, oh, just it'll be fine. You just...
Yeah.
Because they forget. They go, yeah. Oh, no, we didn't do it. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You just forget. I mean, there's just over a year between all three of mine and each one, like you get this new baby wow. And you go... Oh, I've forgotten everything. I've forgotten how to... Oh, God, you know... How did we do this? How did we get them to sleep? And obviously they're all different, so they're, but I feel like you forget the tougher stuff. You remember all the rosy stuff. I mean, I was like, yeah. My first, she slept through, and I always say, oh, she slept through. But then I thought the other day, I do remember, actually, really struggling with her. But you remember from when she started sleeping through and all that stuff. And like the labour, I mean, you do it again, don't you? That's the thing, you do it again because... You forget how hard it is. My problem was that my first and third were really quite tough labours and the middle one was an absolute joy.
Really?
I had a lovely labour with her. We were in
wow.
I had a brilliant midwife who had seen her way through and she was a really easy, lovely birth. Either side was just quite tough.
And they all come out your foo-foo?
All natural births, only gas and air.
Yeah,
yeah.
You are a warrior.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I did the last one. His head was there to remeasure it. It was so big. I actually remember being there going, well, you've ripped it now, so just push.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember thinking I could fit. I was like, I know I've torn. And afterwards she was like, no tears. I was like, sorry,
no.
What kind of rubber vagina do I have?
Wow.
Because I was convinced that was just before I pissed all over her. I pissed. I said, am I pissing? Am I pissing? She was like, don't worry about it.
They've had worse. I'm only saying, people probably think, wow. I'm only saying, wow, because I have seen your baby. He's like mine. He's a chunk.
Yeah. I mean, all my children, the girls are about 95th percentile and Barnaby's 99th percentile. They're massive.
Well done to us. Did you have big babies, Sakina?
I think they were, gosh, that was awful to say it, but they were just average, I think. Yeah. I mean, they were about, what were they? They were about 8.5, 9 pounds. What, I don't know. That's just fairly big, isn't it? Yeah. I think they were long. They were both quite long because they come out all curled up, don't they? And then when they stretch out, you're like, oh, actually, like those foldy sort of rulers, you know, they come in really compact and then they just keep pulling them out. They were both like that. I think they're about £8 and £8.5, something like that.
That's decent.
I don't know, you know, you get to this point and obviously like reaching perimenopause, you're sort of like, that phase of my life is behind me. And I don't know, I think about it now and you think, oh, all of that, getting babies out of your body, it's pretty,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a bit amazing and pretty intense, isn't
it's
it?
Pretty amazing.
Hello, you're listening to the Funny Mummy Podcast. Can I have a snack now?
Has anyone got a mum block story? So this is where you've gone about your day. You've got your day planned. You're like, I'm going to go to the post office. I'm going to do this. And then something has happened or someone has just fucked up the day to block what you were hoping to do that day. You know, like if you miss a delivery and then they put that card in your door and you're like, oh, now I've got to go to the post office to get that delivery, blah, blah, blah. Or it might be something someone said or just an appointment's been cancelled.
I mean, I have mum blog every single day. I mean, all of those things, you're like, okay, that was Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. That's true, actually.
And, you know, you go to leave and the baby does an explosion and then you've got to change them and then one of them, all that stuff. I was going to an antiques fair that I'd been really looking forward to on Tuesday and then my daughter decided to have a high temperature and I couldn't send her to nursery, which was just so selfish of her.
Oh.
If you're trying to do something specifically for you, which I always have to stress is never for you, I'm like, I just want to clean the kitchen floor. I just want to. And I'm like, never something for me, is there? I feel like if you're always trying to do something, there'll always be a hurdle in your way because it's always for other people.
Yeah, I should have said, actually, yeah. With 3 under 3, the mum block probably happens every day. So wonder you get out of the house, God bless you.
Yeah, well, we don't. I live in this beautiful prison of mine. We don't go out much, but, I mean, I like it that way.
Sometimes there is always that thing of, like, even though mine aren't little, you're working towards getting them out. My oldest is autistic and ADHD, and it's so hard getting him out the door. And you get out, and you're like... And then there's other stresses. What did I do the other day? Yes. The whole way walking to the shop, they were just like fighting, but like play fighting. But I thought one of them's going to fall into the road in a minute. And it was just like tussle, tussle, tussle. And then I think because I was stressed out, I went flying, Kelly. And I was outside a hairdresser's, went flying. I've never seen two women come out of a hairdresser's so quick. One of them was holding a Prosecco glass. She was obviously mid, like, Saturday, getting her hair done or doing hair. I think they were the hairdressers. Came out, and they were like, you're right. And they were like, don't be embarrassed. And you know when someone says that, you think, I should be embarrassed, shouldn't I? You've basically just told me that what's happened is a really embarrassing. But I flew, and then there was these, like, you saying about crackheads. There was these couple of guys where I'm like, they're not homeless, but they're kind of like, I don't think they have a permanent address, and they're drinking. And one of them come over, no teeth in his head, and he's come over, goes, you're right. And the women went, is she with you? I was like, really? I was like, this is embarrassing. This is what's embarrassing. You think I'm with my partner? And then they were like, let's help you up. And they're trying to help me up. You know, you're like, this is making it worse. And then they were like, come in the salon. We've got a little corner. You can have a little drink and all like this. And I was crying. I was like, I went, no, I've got to get to the library before it closes. So that kind of messed up my day because I kind of couldn't walk very well. But yeah, I think I need new boots. I think that was it. But my kids just stood there like that. I was like, oh God. And then afterward, my oldest did go, I'm glad you're all right, mummy. It's like, yeah, it just would have been an inconvenience for them if I'd not been all right.
Yeah, they don't care, do they?
You got that to look forward to, Kelly, the older bit. So, Keena, I feel like now yours are older, what, 11 and 13?
Yeah, they're bigger. I mean, I do still get the, like, the random stuff. Like, last week I had, like, really busy week at work and then everyone started coming home from school with, like, temperatures of 40 and then everything just gets cancelled, doesn't it? You just can't go anywhere, you can't leave. Because everyone gets this. When your kids are sick, you get sick. And so you finish the week having looked after everyone all week, really sick. So there was that, you know, there's that. But, I mean, generally now, being teenagers, it's different, is it? Because if they won't leave the house when I have to go somewhere, I'm like, you know, when they're kids, you go, I'm going to go without you. But when they're bigger, you do just go without them. You know, like, you're like, if you want to leave the house, you don't have to leave the house. I find I'm probably my own block, really, because I really struggle to kind of figure out, now, like, my life's recalibrating what's really important to do, and I still think I've got to do it all. So I put way too much in my day and then just create my own chaos. That's what I find is my biggest mum block is me, is just being a mum, actually. And I just don't really know what's this, what's this, what really takes priority now. You know, it's like we're in that weird sort of transition zone of them slowly becoming young adults where I don't have to be, like, trying to do all of this for them. And my brain hasn't quite caught up. So sometimes they're like, oh, you're like over-mothering me. And I'm like, oh, you don't need that. And then other times they're literally sitting there. Like yesterday we were going out somewhere and my son's like deliberately being so annoying and slow. He's like, I can't do up my laces. I'm already like 20 minutes late, going to be late for this appointment. And I'm like, can you actually not do, like, my brain is like, can you actually not do up your laces? Am I just doing a total, like, mum slave thing where I'm, like, on my knees, like, come on, let's get your laces done, you know? Yeah, so I'm like, you can do your laces, but now we're just in a standoff, wasting more time, you know? So that's the sort of mum blocks I get now, is just total psychological warfare. Even despite being a sort of, you know, psychological person, I still am like, am I playing this game? Am I not playing this game? Am I going to, like, do a little power battle? Do I just leave the house? It's just a mess in my head.
Wow, yeah.
And then on top of that, you're just trying to look really calm and serene, like nothing phases you. And, you know, using the Mel Robbins let them therapy. Like, I'm just going to let you do what you're going to do, but I don't really know what I'm doing. So, yeah, that's usually my day in, day out, yeah.
Oh God, that's so true. My six-year-old, I think he just likes me mothering him. He likes me putting his shoes on. He can do it himself. And so now he had bargain. He goes, you do one and I'll do the other. Now he's just got to this bargaining. But then the other day, not to end on a sad note, but I did have that moment of, like, they are both really loving, very kissy and cuddly, and they both want to sleep in my bed all the time. We have to do, like, turn take. And I'm like, oh, it just, sometimes I think they're going to be like 18 and I can't hold their hand, can I? That's going to be weird. It does make you feel a bit sad.
Yeah, my son told me yesterday in M&S, he was like, I think you're doing it unconsciously, mum, but when you're walking, you do this thing where you just put your hand behind you, like you're waiting for me to hold it. And I was like, yeah, I think I still do that because I'm so used to being in a shop and, like, just automatic responses. Am I leaving with my kids? You know, I'm not just going to go not leave them. And he was like, you know, I don't mind when there's no one around, like none of my friends are watching, I would just hold it. And so he just, like, comes and holds my hand to make me feel better. No one else is looking. How cute is that? But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I do. You just become like, it's just like muscle memory, isn't it? It's like being a dancer. You just do the same thing over and over. I'm in a shop and my arm just goes behind me waiting for a little child to grab it so I can leave. And I was like, oh, I've got to stop doing that now. You don't actually need to hold my hand anymore. You probably don't want to.
I do that when I'm crossing the road, but not with my kids, with like my friends or something. I become the lollipop lady and I'm like, 1 minute, right, you can all go. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not with my kids. Oh, ladies, right, let's get back to our lives and trying to clean that floor. Thanks very much. And thanks very much to the patron listeners, and keep spreading the word, and we'll get our little community together. This is what I'm hoping, is that on Patreon we get lots of mums and dads are very welcome, commenting and sharing stuff. And yeah, we're going to be offering lots of exciting things coming up. All right, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
And you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, I've been Hattie Ashan, and thank you to my producer, Natalie King. Don't forget to join the gang over on Patreon. Just search for Funny Mummies Podcast with Hattie Ashdown. For the price of a coffee, you could support this podcast. You'll get to hear it first, you'll get a full version, and loads of other perks. Come join the Funny Mummies community.
Happy Mother's Day!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.